This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Just a wonderment of technical excellence. Brilliant. It is the Afternoon Drive on KMJ. And I want to say for the record, in defense of Ron McCary, that was 1,000% not Ron McCary's doing. That we've got new equipment in the new studio, and
dude, I know what it is. Satan's jukebox rose from the ashes of the burned down building. That, if you missed that, that's what we started the show off with. There was another fire of a vacant building. My guess is going to be that it was probably started by individuals living on the property. Anyway, that happened in Northeast Fresno early this morning, the birthplace of the Dead Bunny station, now in ruins. But the spirit of Satan's jukebox lives on.
Oh, man. That was...
That's what it was. I didn't believe in ghosts yesterday, but I believe in them today.
Why not? Why not? A ghost seems like as good of an explanation as anything. Hey, look, everybody. The National Weather Service needs our attention again. Thanks again to the National Weather Service out of the Hanford area, and especially to Ned Gerblansky for voicing that alert. A flash flood warning for eastern Madera County and northeastern Fresno County, now in effect until 5 p.m. this following off of the Doppler radar, picking up thunderstorms, producing heavy rain across the warned area. Up to an inch of rain has already fallen, and flash flooding is ongoing or expected to begin shortly. Flash flooding will remain over mainly rural areas of eastern Madera and northeastern Fresno County.
'Tis the season. Whenever those the thunderstorms and stuff come around, that's where we have to start to pay attention to the possibility of lightning causing fires and issues. So I think the important thing is always have an evacuation plan.
So yesterday we spent a lot of time talking about the testimony delivered to Nancy Pelosi's panel investigating the January 6th insurrection attempt. We heard from four officers, the most high profile of which is Officer Michael Fanone. He has done a lot of television, and he's talked to everybody. I've seen him on Fox. I've seen him on CNN. At some point, he has made himself available to anybody who wants to hear about what happened in the Capitol on the 6th of January. And yesterday, he sat in his uniform, and he offered his testimony about what he witnessed, what he experienced, along with three other officers. And I maintain, and I very much stand by this, every serious American citizen needs to watch their testimony, needs to hear their words. If you have a thin blue line flag, if you're rocking an I got your 6 1199 society license plate wrapper, If you are one of those people who is disgusted by what has become of our great nation and the depths to which a tiny minority of our countrymen will stoop, you need to hear those officers out.
Yeah, and I know that there is a large group of folks that are very visible in the sense that we just did the Support Blue Run not too long ago. Yeah. I mean, like, this town, this valley is very supportive of those serving in various roles of law enforcement there. And I mentioned this with kind of a prediction slash disgust, in that the people that are testifying are already being having elements of character assassination and ridicule for their sharing of their experience at this commission that they're subpoenaed to and have to be a part of.
I think the most remarkable thing is these guys get up, that they make the statements that they have to make. For Fanone in particular, not the first time that he sat down to talk about what he saw. But the elevated profile has, of course, generated some public comment. How about that? What an irony that in the middle of this rant, on the voicemail box of a police officer who has described the experience of being targeted because of his status as a police officer, this comes out of the anonymous coward's mouth.
I feel like he was reading down actual bullet points that we often hear the minute we try and talk about this. It would be even more painful if it wasn't so predictable. And it should be outrage to anybody who was tuning in going, what is KMJ playing right now?
I think the predictability of it is, for me, still the lesser component, but it's number two on the reasons that this breaks my heart. First of all, that somebody would react to an officer describing his efforts to protect our nation's capital by calling and leaving hate mail on his voicemail recorder. I've been doing this stupid job long enough to know that eventually some whack job's going to get mad at you and send you a nasty letter. Hi, Ron, thinking about you, buddy. Or they're going to try and character assassinate you and dox you. Hi, Vanessa, thinking about you too, hon. And these people will wrap themselves in, I love our law enforcement. I love my country. I love America so much. I love other people. Why won't you die? So Fanon gets up, offers his testimony, gets emotional, which to me seems like the most reasonable thing in the world to do, talking about living through that. And this coward leaves this voice message for him. And then has the bald-faced gall in the middle of saying, you scumbag, you dirtbag, they should have beat you harder. How about that in assaulting cops? So it's a grievance when it's the people you don't agree with politically. But Michael Fanon should have gotten his teeth kicked in.
Well, and that's what some of the individuals yesterday sharing their testimony were talking about, was this moment of, I call it like does not compute, like where the computer gets broken and doesn't work, where you're there trying to protect space, the sacred space of the Capitol that has not been violated in that way since the 1800s. So it is not like all of the previous things people were are trying to compare it to, including this D-bag on the voicemail. And they're seeing people carrying the flags and then telling them, like, are you one of them? Or, I mean, it doesn't make sense, because it literally doesn't make sense. So, and the frustrating part, again, I go back to, is that the copy points, the bullet points, are so predictable in that, and then it's co-opted and sent out on attack via voicemail.
And that for me is, it's maybe the second most heartbreaking thing here. There is no original thought there. There is no unique insight. There is no effort at understanding. You have taken what has been fed to you and you have converted it into rage. And the ultimate testament to the impotence of your rage is that you're threatening somebody who's a better man than you on his worst day over voicemail, offering nothing to anybody but the bile welling up out of your lungs. If there was ever a time in my life to say out loud in earnestness, boy, you need Jesus, it's after listening to that.
You cannot have those thoughts and views and have that kind of behavior towards law enforcement that is trying to talk about a serious thing that happened back in January and then fly your Blue Lives Matter flag. It does not line up.
It's a new era in news talk, only on News Talk 580-1059 KMJ.
424 on the afternoon drive. Philip Teresi and Skip Echeverria. News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. The flash flood warning from the National Weather Service expanding into Tuolumne County. But the broad strokes unchanged. High country, rural country, flash floods in northeastern Fresno, eastern Madera, and now Tuolumne County. Up to an inch of rain already on the ground, confirmed by Doppler radar. If at all possible, don't stand in a creek bed right now.
And since we're on the business of giving you the heads up, as of 25 minutes ago, we are in a flex alert. California's power grid operator has issued that statewide flex alert that runs through 9 o'clock, rather, 9 o'clock tonight, to avoid rolling outages due to the persistent heat. So in order to avoid straining the power grid, it is recommended that you turn off unnecessary lights, set air conditioner thermostats to 38 degrees or higher, and delay using those major appliances until after 9 o'clock. These conservation measures can help stabilize the power grid. I think it's still the yelling from the aggressiveness of that DC voicemail. What are we doing? That's what it feels like.
I, as long as we're at it, let's get to the asteroid. That's right. There's another one. Big old comet. You started it, dude. I was just gonna let Ned have his say and move on. But as long as we're doing the end of the world here, let's talk about the largest known comet in the sky, about 1,000 times more massive than some of the others we've cited.
How big is this one in comparison to the one that took out the dinosaurs?
Yes. They're saying this thing is, depending upon your point of observation, between 62 and 124 miles across.
Oh, boy.
And
small Rhode Island coming right at us.
Yeah, and so it's going to make a nice close pass. Well, they discovered it in June. They would like for you to know that its closest approach is going to be in 2031. So we got a little time. We got about 10 years.
And the way we aged over this last year, hopefully we'll still all be here.
Oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it another 10 years of this nonsense, dude. So it's a giant ball of ice that's going to come whipping by close enough that you will definitely be able to see it with a good pair of binoculars and possibly with the naked eye, depending upon how it does once it really picks up the gravitational field of the sun, because that's right, its trajectory isn't set in stone.
All right, so that's some great positive news as he takes a sip of coffee.
It's the beauty of embracing moving from existential nihilism to cosmic nihilism. You can maintain all of your standards, all of your beliefs. You can maintain your relationship with the Almighty and the unknown, while at the same time accepting none of this is going to matter really soon.
I remember the moment my anxiety disorder started. Adele came into class, not the Adele, the singer. It was Adele. She was her parents had parrots growing up. And she came in and told us that according to some ancient calendar, today was the day that the world ended. And this was back in like third grade. And I didn't really know what to do with that information, but I do know that that is when the seeds of a beautiful, blossoming, strong, decades-long anxiety disorder took root, took off.
But see, that's dread. You don't need dread. You need the opposite. We're all in this together.
I don't feel like it. We've been saying that through the whole pandemic, and instead you have people protesting masks outside of Clovis Unified School District and people leaving horrible voicemails for actual cops while waving a cop flag. I'm not feeling like we're all in this together.
But we are because of the comet. The comet is the equalizer. It is, look, how many jokes have we heard? 1066 East Shaw Avenue, the one time and true home of the Dead Bunny Station, burns to the ground, unfortunately, possibly because of arson. There's a property owner who's got to deal with insurance paperwork. There were people at Denny's that got the hell scared out of them because they were evacuated from their moons over Miami. And what did everybody say? What did everybody say? A building burned to the ground. People could have been harmed. Firefighters risked their lives to contain this blaze in the middle of our city. And what did people, universally, what's the response been?
Blaming the homeless?
No. No, that's the only way that you could have cleaned it. Well,
it's true. Kill it with fire.
And that's what the comet's going to do. Cleansing fire is going to wash over everything. It's going to equalize everything. We will then all truly, finally have all of the answers. And it may be that you are judged. It may be that your heart is weighed against a feather. It may be the total blackness of the chemical process that may be all there is to human consciousness going out much like a candle flame. But the truth is that the comet will equalize it all. It is the perfect solution to that cosmic nihilism, and it is the end of anxiety.
So what you're saying is, when I get off work today, I should really just go to Crave Cookie.
It doesn't matter. How fat can you get in 10 years?
Challenge accepted.
This time, here's Ron.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
4:38 on the Afternoon Drive. Philip and Skip at Newstalk 580 and 105.9 KMJ worldwide. You can listen to us at KMJNow.com, or if you've jumped onto the Amazon Echo and Google Home device bandwagon, you can listen through your smart home devices, and it sounds so good. I mean, shockingly, for a hockey puck with a ring of light, you're going to be really pleased. That's about outside of the studio, the Amazon Echo experience, that's about as close in audio quality as you get to being here in the room. And you don't have to bring coffee. Check out the Alexa Smart Home skill in your Alexa app. And with Google Home, it's even easier. Just say, hey, Google, I want to listen to KMJ. Back to Tokyo, back to the Olympics. And kind of an interesting split here, Skip. There's a lot of people applauding Simone Biles for making the choice that she did to effectively withdraw from the Olympics for the rest of the week. With the option, I believe, that there are some solo events she may participate in next week. But at this time, she stepped away from the remaining Team USA events. Meanwhile, other people are saying, what are you doing, you wuss?
Oh, yeah. It's been an interesting split. And I see the split in a couple ways. I think that there is definitely some generational shift happening between athletes in their 30s and 40s and then above. And I think that there is a very, very interesting online debate, mostly because that's where it happens, right, of men in particular having a lot to say about a woman who is so good at her sport. She actually has moves named after her, saying that she choked, or that she's weak, or that she took up a spot on the team and she shouldn't have done that.
Okay, so I want to play devil's advocate here.
Good, because I've been practicing my arguments even in my head last night trying to go to bed. I had to step away from Twitter because I just couldn't with people yesterday.
It never goes the same as you think it's going to when you're having the argument in the shower, though. Nobody can question that Simone Biles is one of the all-time great gymnasts, period. I don't think that anybody can credibly question that Simone Biles has, I don't think just the right, but possibly even because of her profile, an obligation to herself to care for her mental health. But this isn't Simone Biles' first rodeo. This is the Olympics. And mental toughness and perseverance beyond discomfort is inherently a part of competing at this level, is it not?
It is. But I think there's a couple of pieces to keep in mind. Is first that there is no question of toughness in regards to Simone Biles. She won the nationals with broken toes on both feet. She won the worlds with a kidney stone. And I've never seen people complain more other than giving birth than passing a kidney stone. Okay, so, and we'll get into the fact that she has had to be the face of all the sexual assault stuff later. But yeah, we'll stick with the Olympics. But I think one of the things, there's two pieces here. One is to keep in mind that the mind is part of the body and mental health is part of physical health. And she is doing a sport where if you're not 100% tuned in, it is incredibly dangerous. You do those kind of somersaults, move through the air, you land wrong. We're not talking about just like breaking an ankle or breaking a toe. You could break your neck.
Yeah.
And so, in terms of understanding, I think that she has a freakish amount of control over her physical body. I would venture a guess that she can do the same with her mental state as well. And she tried. And she decided to step away. And the whole team has come around her and supported her. The Olympics team, her individual teammates. The pushback has really been this argument about, well, you know, even to the extent of disgracing America, you owe it to us. You do it for the flag, the country. What do you want?
So I there's always going to be some extremist, no matter what we do anymore, forever and ever, thanks to Twitter, we're always going to have some lunatic that's going to take it out to the nth degree, no matter what happens. You're disgracing America because you got short purple hair. Yeah, there's always going to be a wacko. And thanks to Twitter, they can all get together and trade ideas until eventually they create a never-ending pandemic that makes it impossible for our children to simply go to class and focus on their lessons instead of being constantly scolded by people with master's degrees about whether or not they've got a diaper secured properly on their face. Thanks, everybody. Was that out loud? I agree that the ability to focus, the mental acuity, it's essential. You can't make your body do this if your brain's not in alignment. You can't Jack Sparrow your way out onto the mat, do a couple of flips and turns, and wander off with anything other than scorn.
Or depend on your teammates to pick up your slack, because she's right there.
Again, I want to be clear that most of this is devil's advocate argument. But does somebody get to a point psychologically or emotionally? Because the two are really tied on something like this. Does somebody get to a point psychologically or emotionally where they're not able to do the thing that they've been training to do, that they've focused their life on? In such a short span of time that you get all the way to the Olympic Games before you realize, oops, I'm in a bad spot. I need some Lipton and a warm blanket.
Yeah, we've talked about this and everything in terms of people kind of tipping. You know, I think it's important to recognize that these athletes were training for Tokyo 2020. They were ready to go and at their peak in 2020.
Yeah.
And then COVID happened. So when you get ready for peak performance, it's all about timing, right? To be able to pull out your best and hope that all things are running accurately at that moment. They had to extend that out a year with the uncertainty and during a pandemic. So just thinking about staying at that level of having to be training and the focus and then all of the expectation for an additional year for a woman who is known as the GOAT, the greatest of all time in what she's doing, even if she didn't win any medals this time around. So yeah, everybody's tipping point is different. We have more to talk about on the way, but I know we got to get to a check of traffic.
One of the questions that I'm going to ask you on the other side here, can USA Gymnastics, can the members of the USA Gymnastics team be blamed if 4 years down the line, regardless of her physical skill, they take a pass on Simone Biles? More on the way. Philip and Skip on your drive home. It's News Talk 580 and 105.9. AMJ.
So as the world processes Simone Biles withdrawing from the Olympics as part of the women's gymnastics team, there have been lots of hot takes on this regarding whether or not she was mentally fit. Did she take a spot for deserving individuals? Does she owe us a performance? And Philip, you brought an interesting point up before the break, and that is you can be supportive of this, but do you have to guarantee her a spot in the Olympics in 2024?
Yeah, if you're a coach for Team USA Gymnastics, if you're a member of the USA Gymnastics team, this is not about Simone Biles being bad. This isn't about her being a terrible person. But if she ain't got it no more, do you owe her a chance to take a spot on a team that she's not going to support in competition?
So I'm going to say, instead of it doesn't have it anymore, maybe she doesn't want it anymore. And I think that's the big thing that we're seeing here, because the team has circled around her in support. And in some ways, it's allowing other women who have lived kind of in her shadow to come forward and really perform in amazing ways. The entire team has been behind her, the coaching staff and everything. And I think what we're seeing here is a couple of things. First of all, Simone's going to be 26, 27 by the next Olympics. She jokingly says she's a grandma in the sport. So I don't know that you would see her out there doing it. And after this go round, I don't know that she necessarily is going to want it. Now, could it be up for debate then? Maybe. However, the reason why we have an Olympic team that is doing so well can single-handedly be tied back to Simone Biles.
Sure.
She was the face of all of the abuse that was wrapped up with Nasser, right? Her advocacy paired with a couple of others, but she's the one that's competing still, is what gave some credibility to an organization that failed its women. Absolutely failed. Looked the other way while a pedophile was running rampant through its ranks. So she's already saved the Olympic team before she even got to the Olympics. And the other part is, a big part of her approach has been mentorship, which I think is really impressive, because she has a gym in Texas where she has brought other members of the team up and coached them and supported them. So this isn't about just Simone being the GOAT. It's about her developing relationships and long-term success for the United States. And she just doesn't necessarily want to do it. And folks like Michael Phelps are behind her. You know, there are a lot of young athletes that are really looking at her, top of their game athletes, and nobody's saying anything dirty. It's a lot of armchair gymnast. And I know you're not.
No. And I'm not going to defend that. But what I am going to say is everything that you just said about Simone Biles is correct and valid and a point of consideration. Absolutely it is. If Carroll Shelby breaks his ankle, do you let him drive?
You'll have to tell me who Carroll Shelby is.
The guy that fixed the Mustang, the Shelby Cobra Mustang.
Oh, do you let him drive? No, but my guess is if he's a smart leader, he's trained people to be able to take over for him.
And that's kind of where my question's going. Simone Biles might turn up again as a coach, but
she can do whatever she wants. Somebody recommended, Ed Online recommended commentary. She's got a great personality.
Oh, yeah. It seems like a delightful human being. Yeah, she could do commentary. She could coach. She can take her pick of post-gymnastic gigs, to be sure. I'm curious to see a year from now if people are talking seriously about what happened. Was it emotional or was it this twisties thing that, golly, sounds a lot to me like an inner ear issue.
Maybe it is emotional and that's okay too.
Yeah. But I'm curious to see where the conversation goes.
Yeah.
All right. News with Ron McCary on the way, and hour 4 is next. Don't move. It's the Afternoon Drive on KMJ.